Imagine, if you will, that you're one of the first Christians living in Jerusalem weeks and months after the death of Jesus. Jerusalem is Zion, the place of God. It was not a mixed city as it is today, with Arabs and Jews intermingled that much. It was predominantly Jewish. It was controlled by people of the Jewish faith, even though the Romans were right there in the praetorium overlooking the temple courtyard. By lifestyle, the Jewish faith dominated. And now in this city was a group of people who called themselves Christians. They didn't have a temple or a church like this. They met in homes, but they were the first church. And Peter was one of the first preachers of that new church. Imagine what it would be like every day to go out into the community so influenced by the Jewish faith and hear the whispers or see the pointing fingers or actually hear people ridicule you and make fun of you because you believed in a man who was crucified as a criminal between two thieves. Much different than today. And Peter, when he was sharing these words, was trying to comfort the people in that early church. They would gather there in the homes in Jerusalem. They would pack themselves in so they could share in Holy Communion and hear the Word of God preached about a love that was so great that God would send His Son as a living sacrifice. And Peter was going back to the Scripture they knew in the Old Testament to comfort them and to encourage them. When he said, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious," he was talking about the Old Testament passage that was foretelling the coming of Jesus. "And he who believes in Him will not be put to shame." To live in the early church was to live with ridicule, with accusations, with suspicion. And Peter was saying that this Jesus is the cornerstone that God has placed in Zion. And if you believe in Him, you don't have to be ashamed. I don't care what the Jews are saying. I don't care what the Romans are saying or anyone else living in Jerusalem. You can be proud of who you are. He quoted other scriptures from the Old Testament to encourage them. He said, "The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." A cornerstone is used in building old buildings, particularly to become not just the foundation of the building, but to set the pattern and the design. Over on Legion Road, several years ago, someone bought the property just before you get to the Methodist Church going down the hill on Legion Road, if you know that part of the county. And they were going to put a development back in there. And I was really impressed when they brought in a stone layer to lay these beautiful stone entrance markers. because they use the flat stones that you get from the mountains of North Carolina. And you have to choose each stone so very carefully. And you have to lay them in place and in layers and build them with very little mortar to make the structures. And there are two large columns on the side, and then a beautiful planter column with the name of a development that has never been developed. But the builder had to use the cornerstone concept, that once you've laid the foundation, you pick a stone as close to square and as close to perfect as you can find, and you put it in place, and that sets the design for the rest of the structure. Peter is saying that the Jews rejected Jesus as a cornerstone for faith. Jesus himself said he was rejected as the cornerstone. But one Sunday morning, Peter shared with his congregation that Jesus, in fact, is the cornerstone of a new church. But you know what's more amazing? These words coming to us from the fourth and fifth verses. Come to him, to that living stone rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house. That not only is Jesus the cornerstone that God was laying in Zion, but Christians who believe in him are living stones in a spiritual temple that God is building in the world. That he laid the foundation in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He started building it in those house churches in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. And God is still building that magnificent temple out of living stones. And you and I are the living stones that are the blocks in that temple. It's not a temple made with hands. It's not a structure made with brick and mortar and wood. It's a living temple that brings glory to a living God and to a Christ who overcame death. That's what we celebrate as God's people. That's who we are as God's people. Living stones in a spiritual church. The writer of the Gospel of John said it in a different way. But he was trying to say something to the Jews of that time. He says, the Word became flesh, the Logos, the very wisdom of God that was in the beginning, the foundation of the world, became flesh and pitched his tabernacle in the midst of the people. Pitched his tent right where people live and work and go to school and shop. That God is where people are. And God needs us as living stones to be the church where people are. Not on a plot of ground, on a piece of property, at a certain address somewhere. That's a place we come to celebrate. That's a place we come to study. That's a place we come to fellowship. But we're the church in reality where we live and work and play. Because we are living stones in the temple of God. Now, what do we need to be those living stones? Peter tells us and encouraged the early church, and his words ring down through the ages to today. He says, first of all, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that it might be that you might grow up into salvation. That we need to hunger for the Word of God. We need to be studying the Word of God constantly if we are to be the living stones that God shapes into a living church that transforms our world. The second thing the Scripture says is that we need to be a holy priesthood. That being a priest, being a minister, is not just the work of the ordained in the church. That we are all priests together. We are a part of a priesthood. That's one of the things that separates us somewhat from Catholicism, that has so separated the clergy and is now living with that kind of separation between the clergy and the people, with what's going on in the scandal of the Catholic Church, and in my opinion, the scandal of the decision that was made last week in Rome. Instead of listening to the Pope, who said there's no toleration, there will be no tolerations of priests who abuse children, the cardinals decided on working in words and phrases that gave them political latitude. They became worldly and would not even listen to the Holy Father. Several hundred years ago, part of the church broke away from the Catholic Church because we believed in the priesthood of all believers. It's our responsibility to make the church the great thing that God's called it to be. To be living stones, we must accept our call to be priests in this living church of God. And finally, if we are to be living stones, we need to make spiritual sacrifices that show God that we accept His gift of Jesus as precious in our lives. It's appropriate that this scripture should be a scripture in a service where we celebrate Holy Communion. That's one way we make a spiritual sacrifice. When we come forward and receive the bread and the cup as the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ, the sacrifice He made, we take into our lives that somehow, in some spiritual way, we can be transformed so we have the courage to make spiritual sacrifices so that we become living stones in the temple that God wants to build in the world. And that temple brings glory to His name. Peter knew it was tough being a Christian. He knew it was tough for those new converts to the faith from Judaism. He knew that it would always be tough to allow yourself to be a living stone in a holy temple. And he shares these beautiful words with us all. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Today, when we come and receive this communion, will you allow yourself to be a living stone, to be molded, shaped, placed right where the builder wants you, so that He can build a glorious temple in the midst of the people that will be a place that will invite the world to come to a knowledge of God in Christ Jesus? Will you make that spiritual sacrifice? Will you be a part of that priesthood? And will you live and feed on the Scripture as your source of strength? Let us pray. Gracious Father, You have called us to be living stones in a spiritual church. May we accept our place. Indeed, be the builder who looks and examines each stone and decides just where it'll fit to build the strongest structure possible. We want to be a spiritual church as well as a physical church. Help us to know that we can never be the true church unless you build and shape us spiritually. Shape us through your word. Shape us through our call to be a royal priesthood. Shape us forever as we make spiritual sacrifices to you to be that church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.